legend of La Llorona is traditionally told throughout Mexico, Central America, and Northern South America. While there are several versions, they all usually start out in a small, tiny village somewhere in Latin America, where there lived a beautiful girl, often named Maria, who was so pretty that most of the villagers believed her to be the most beautiful girl in the world. She is usually depicted as a gorgeous indigenous woman that marries a rich European conquistador to whom she bears two children. One day, Maria sees her husband with another woman, and in a fit of blind rage, she drowns her children in a river, which she immediately regrets. Unable to save them, and consumed by guilt, she drowns herself as well, but is unable to enter the afterlife, forced to be in purgatory and roam this earth until she finds her children. In another version of the story from Guatemala, a woman who had an affair with a lover became pregnant, then drowned her child so her husband would not know. Regardless of the version, recurring themes include a white, wet dress, nocturnal wailing and crying, and an association with water. This legend of the weeping woman, about a vengeful ghost who's said to roam the waterfront areas, mourning her children whom she drowned, is told to kids to encourage them to not wander off in the dark, and is depicted in art and theatrical performances coinciding with the Day of the Dead, which takes place around the time of Halloween. La Llorona is most commonly associated with the colonial era and the dynamic between Spanish conquistadors and indigenous women, especially with La Malinche, a multilingual Mexica woman who acted as the primary interpreter for Hernan Cortes during his conquest of the Aztec Empire. However, early colonial texts provide evidence that the lore is pre-Hispanic, connected to specific Aztec mythological creation stories, in particular to Xiaquatl, an Aztec goddess, deity of motherhood, who seeks children to keep for herself, as well as Cotlique, known as Our Lady Mother, or Tonantzin. In Book 8 of the Florentine Codex, also known as the General History of the Things of New Spain by Fray Bernardino de Sahagún, compiled in the 1500s from natives of Mexico, we read, quote, "In the days of this same Motacucoma, it happened that the demon Xiaquatl walked about weeping at night in the streets of Mexico. Everyone heard it, saying, 'My children, woe is me that I must soon leave you.'" Although in this passage he calls her a demon, which has a malevolent context from a Christian perspective, it derives from the Latin word for spirit and from the Greek meaning deity, divine power, lesser god, sometimes including souls of the dead. In any event, she is also described as one of the most important goddesses of the Aztecs, associated with small children, with a crib or cradle as one of her distinguishing marks. Her further description goes on to say, quote, "And they also say that she carries a crib with her, as someone would who carried her child in it, and she goes to the market among other women, and disappearing, she would leave behind the crib. When other women discovered that the crib had been forgotten there, they would look to see what was inside, and there would be a flint, like iron, of the rough kind which they killed those they sacrificed. By this, they understood that it was Xiaquatl who had left it there. In his time, it came to pass that the demon that in the form of a woman walked and appeared by day and by night and was called Xiaquatl, ate a small boy who was in his cradle in the town of Azcapotzalco." Thomas Janvier, writing in 1910, held this belief, quote, "This legend is not, as all of the other legends are, of Spanish-Mexican origin. It is wholly Mexican, a direct survival from primitive times. La Llorona is a stray from Aztec mythology, an ancient powerful goddess living on her power for evil lessened but still potent into modern times. While I agree that the legend predates the Spanish arrival in Mesoamerica, similar stories concerning feminine water goddesses exist in Europe, such as the Slavic Rusalka or water spirit, the French Melusine, which is female from the waist up, and Serpentine from the waist down, and the Germanic Nixie, which was a mythological river maiden. There have been numerous figurines discovered going back over 6,000 years into Neolithic times, meaning the Stone Age, of what appear to be mourning goddesses or weeping artifacts. While some anthropologists postulate that they were created to be buried with dead relatives, this only accounts for 10% of the artifacts, and there's evidence of ritual use prior to being deposited in graves. Lab tests show that they were painted and repainted every year, likely during the autumn harvest festival, or in other words, the rainy season, which speaks to ancient Indo-European or Aryan mythology, where autumn is associated with the entrance to the underworld, or the land of the dead. In Greek mythology, Niobe is the goddess of snow and winter, prototype of the bereaved mother weeping for the loss of her children. While the number of her children differs according to different accounts, Euripides tells us that she had 14, 7 sons and 7 daughters. Artemis and Apollo, both excellent archers, took their bows and killed the children. Devastated, Niobe stood rigid until she turned to stone, but even then, tears wouldn't stop pouring from her eyes. I'm sure some of you are already connecting the dots to the weeping statues of the Virgin Mary, where her tears are referred to as the 7 sorrows of Mary, but more importantly, to astrotheology. In Renaissance art, Apollo and Artemis represent the sun and the moon, but this is also how they divided the year, the light part from spring to autumn, and the dark part from autumn to spring. So, who are Niobe's children then? If we accept that these myths have their origin in the Neolithic, then the spring would be Taurus, autumn in Scorpio, summer solstice in Leo, and winter in Aquarius. In ancient mythology, Orion represented Apollo during the evening, since the sun was invisible at night. That said, his arrow is pointing towards the Pleiades, known as the 7 sisters in Greek myth, but can also be the 7 brothers, 7 wise men, 7 goddesses, 7 cows, etc. The dark part of the year, during the Neolithic, started with Scorpio, with the constellation Ara positioned right under it with 7 stars in Sagittarius, shaped like a centaur, who is an archer, pointing its bow at it. In other words, these combined would account for Niobe's slain children. The spring and autumn refer to the rainy season, which can be interpreted as the tears of the mourning goddess, which also coincided with a time of periodic ritual sacrifice, esoteric transmutation, and communal sex magic. This universal astrotheology was disseminated worldwide by an ancient Aryan seafaring civilization, which the Greeks refer to during the Holocene as the Phoenicians, but as I've demonstrated in prior videos, goes back much further into the prehistoric Pleistocene, to a global civilization the same ancient Greeks and Egyptians refer to as Atlantis. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon and through all other major book outlets. If you'd like to support my work, you can do that through patreon.com. There should be a link in the description. Please subscribe for future updates. Leave your thoughts below. Have a wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you again soon.